On the cutting edge of the new mainstream, Christine Upchurch is passionate about bringing together science, psychology, and spirituality in a way that can be applied to our everyday lives for true transformation. The Christine Upchurch Show. Stellar conversations to illuminate your journey. Engages some of the most inspired visionaries on the planet in lighthearted, lively dialogue. Join us as we explore the expansive nature of reality in a down-to-earth way, offering you insights and tools empowering you to become that bright light you're meant to be. Now, here's your host, Christine Upchurch.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to the Christine Upchurch Show, where we have stellar conversations to illuminate your journey. I'm speaking to you today from sunny Seattle here on KKNW AM 1150. You may be listening in Connecticut, Rhode Island, or New York on WBLQ AM 1230, somewhere across the United States through your television on cable radio network, one of the many stations in Australia, or anywhere around the world from on Transformation Talk Radio. I know we've had, we've counted people from over 65 countries worldwide just getting into the archives on ChristineUpchurch.com. So I know that we've got listeners from all over the world, but wherever you're joining us from today, I'm so glad you're here. And we're going to be talking about something that can be very, very helpful in creating a life of joy and ease. But before I get into that, I need to say hello to my better half here in the studio, who allows you to hear these wonderful conversations, Mr. Benny Mathers. Good morning, Benny.
Hi, good day, Christine. How are you?
I'm doing pretty well, thank you. I'm enjoying the sunshine.
We all are, mid-80s today, looking so forward to it. Oh. It's a way to wrap up a good week.
Yeah.
Just enjoy it.
It is fabulous. And, you know, it must be funny for those people around the world who don't live in a climate like Seattle, because whenever it's sunny out, we talk about it. But, you know, it is like an event, so to speak.
And yes. And, I mean, I'm looking forward to today's show. I'm ready to get going with Donald.
Yeah, me too. Me too. And the Donald we're talking about is Donald Altman.
Uh-huh. The one and only.
Yes. And he's the author of several books, including his most recent, Clearing Emotional Clutter. And his focus is on mindfulness, but mindfulness in a way that is very easy to apply to help us shift. He's a practicing psychotherapist. He's a former Buddhist monk. Love that. He is an award-winning writer. Let's see. One of the books he had was The Mindfulness Toolbox. It won two 2015 Ben Franklin National Gold Awards as the best book in two different categories, mind, body, spirit, and psychology. So he's a wonderful writer as well. He's an expert on, get this, mindful eating. I probably need to read one of those books as well, because last night I found myself eating out of a container, like salad out of a container that I'd gotten at PCC, which is our natural market here, and not even sitting down. So I probably need to learn about that. This is also interesting. He also teaches in the neurobiology program at Portland State University. So I'd like to welcome our guest today, Donald Altman. Hi, Donald. Welcome to the Christine Upchurch Show.
Hey. Hi, Christine. Great to be here with you today.
You know, I love this concept of emotional clutter. And, you know, we're often thinking in terms of the clutter in our garage, the clutter in the junk drawer in the kitchen, you know, the clutter that gets all over the place in our physical space. Why did you choose to use that term with emotional?
Well, I think in the same way that physical clutter can actually, you know, if you've watched the show Hoarders, you've seen how it can just completely, block somebody's view of their apartment, and just, you know, you can hardly get through the stuff, or if you have an attic filled with clutter. What I am fascinated about with emotional clutter is how it's invisible to us, how we don't see it, and yet it fills up our head just like that junk in the attic, or, you know, or on your office desk, and it just makes it harder to be effective in the world.
Right.
And sometimes we have so much of it that we can't even participate in this moment, and it gets in the way of relationships. It blocks how we do our work. We get to feel overwhelmed by it, and so we need to find a way to clear it out.
So, you talked about difficulty in relationships and how it can affect us, but are there like particular signs and symptoms of suffering from emotional clutter?
Oh yeah, that's a great question. So you know you have a lot of emotional clutter if you have a lot of anxious thoughts about things that are not yet happening, or, you know, fears or worries about the future. You know you have emotional clutter if you have a story from your history, from your past, that keeps repeating.
Uh-huh.
Like a lady that came to see me one time, and her story, she kept talking about, you know, my mother, she abused me, she mistreated me, mm-hmm. and she said that several times during our initial session. And I finally just, you know, I said to her, I said, you know, I'm curious, you keep returning to that one story, and of course we will, I want to talk more about it. I know it's important to you, but have you ever tried to count how many times you told yourself that story in the course of a day?
Oh, wow.
And she paused, you know, she kind of leaned forward, Christine, looked at me and said, you know, I have tried to count the number of times, but I always lose track, she said.
Oh, wow.
And then she said, but I do know when I don't tell that story, I'm a lot happier.
Mm-hmm.
So if you have a story like that, then you know that you're definitely having emotional clutter. It's almost like a tire of a car. You're stuck in a rut. And you can't get out. And so if you keep repeating an old story of a hurt or an injury or something like that, that's another sign of clutter. Another one would be just the daily wear and tear. If you feel overwhelmed by the chaos, that your day is hectic and frantic and that you have too much to do and you can't get it all done,
uh-huh.
or you feel like you're trying to cram two or three lifetimes into this one lifetime, that's another form of clutter, and then you need to find a way to simplify.
Right. So, you know, I know that some people have talked about mental clutter.
Mm-hmm.
What's the difference between just mental clutter and emotional clutter?
Well, I think they're kind of similar, actually. You know, again, mental clutter, I want to make one interesting point here. And I include a lot of science in my book, and scientists have said we could have as many as between 25 to 75 thoughts per second.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah. And so if you take the low range, let's say 25 thoughts per second, I've multiplied it out, it comes out to about 75,000 thoughts in the course of a day.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah. So, I want your listeners to just think for a moment. How many of those 75,000 thoughts tell you something really profound about yourself? How many are accurate?
Mm-hmm.
Probably not too many, but yet how many are maybe just old conditioned thoughts, reactive thoughts, habitual toxic thoughts that come up and really don't tell you a lot about yourself? But yet sometimes we take those thoughts seriously. We grab onto them,
mm-hmm.
right? And we could define ourselves by our thoughts. And one way to clear the clutter, and so that's whether it's mental clutter or emotional clutter, one way to clear the clutter is to create some constructive distance from those thoughts, not to have to grab onto them, but to actually change our relationship to those thoughts or to those emotions. And that's one of the key components of how you can clear your clutter.
So basically get into observer mode instead of just being the person
who's
experiencing it. Step back and observe.
Yeah, get into that observer mode. And there's actually a part of the brain, I call it the mindfulness module, that allows us to do that. And the more that we do that, we are actually rewiring our brain around those old ways of thinking, and it's giving us some new tools. It's actually going to change how we think in the future and how we behave in the future.
Uh-huh. So it seems to me that you can have all sorts of thoughts, but if there's no emotional attachment to them, then they're just like this stuff that's going through the mind.
Right.
So there must be a difference between some of the thoughts. Like it depends on how we're reacting to them, right?
Yeah, some of the thoughts we might react to more, but if we can just, as you said, get into that observer mode and just detach from them, or just be curious about them. Imagine just being curious about your thoughts. And so, if you're in a movie theater and it's a scary movie, you are, you might be sweating, you might be grabbing onto your seat or the mm-hmm. hand of the person next to you. But if somebody turns on the lights, all of a sudden you realize, oh, wait, this is just a movie. I don't really have to be so frightened here. And that's
right.
The kind of shift we're talking about in helping people. And it's a profound shift within. I really think that this is this clearing emotional clutter. This book can really help, can really be transformational, how it can help shift people's experience of what's happening, really change your relationship to that anxious thought or to that negative, reactive, old reactive way of experiencing,
uh-huh.
even your childhood.
it seems to me that there are people who think that there's some benefit to remembering and re-remembering difficult situations, like to say to avoid future pain, so to speak.
Right.
Can the negative thoughts somehow be helpful, or are they all negative, Nick?
No, I don't think they're all negative. I think that we can learn from them. And I think that the purpose they serve is that to protect us. And there is actually a survival part of the brain. So, and that's why we remember negative things for a lifetime. Okay, because our brain is wired to help protect us. It's an ancient survival mechanism.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah, and yet if we're dwelling on that all the time, then we're really not able to act in the present moment on our own behalf. We might just be stuck in an old survival pattern. So it's important to learn from what our past has taught us. And then learn how to release that and how to broaden out our attention. It's important that we really think about how we're using our attention. And this is maybe, I think, one of the key points that I like to make is that we've learned now that where you place your attention and the very thoughts you have actually change hundreds of biological processes in the body and actually rewire your brain, how you're thinking. It's this idea of self-directed neuroplasticity, that you can change from the inside out. Isn't that cool? I mean, that's
really
a really hopeful message for anybody.
Yeah, but it's also telling us why, if we continue to have the emotional clutter, the repeated negative thoughts, whatever, that if it's got that physiological effect, then we can end up having issues with not only our relationships and our happiness and, in our lives in various ways, but probably can affect our health too, right?
Oh, yeah. So if you're dwelling on those old, hurts and things and not learning how to let them go and move forward, then your body's in a constant stress state, and that actually stimulates cortisol and adrenaline, and those stress hormones will flood your body, flood your brain, and they actually make it harder to learn over time. They also depress your immune system. So imagine that you're, and there have been a lot of scientific studies about that. So if that cortisol stays in the body even more than 2 or 3 days, it lowers your T cell count, it lowers your what are called NK, natural killer cells. Now those are cells that fight, they're in the immune system, they're cells that fight viruses and even some kinds of tumors.
Wow.
So if you find that you're getting sick, that you're unable to, fight those colds off, and that's probably a sign that you may have a lot of the emotional clutter is causing chronic stress.
This is fascinating, Donald. When we come back from the break, I'm going to want you to share with our listeners how they can approach things in a different way to clear out whatever emotional clutter is in there. More with Donald Altman when we return here on the Christine Upchurch Show in just a few moments.
If you're one of the millions of Americans suffering from anxiety, you probably know how powerless and out of control this emotion can make you feel. This is why it is so important to remember that anxiety is created by your mind, which means that you can learn to use your mind to uncreate it. Hello, my name is Dr. Friedman Schaub. My award-winning book, The Fear and Anxiety Solution, provides you with a step-by-step breakthrough process to understand and resolve the root causes of your anxiety and build a solid foundation of confidence and inner peace. If you are ready to take your power back, visit thefearandanxietysolution.com. That's thefearandanxietysolution.com or call 866-903-6463. That's 866-903-MIND.
Serenity Bliss Holistic Spa is a complete approach to wellness. Serenity Bliss offers integrated therapies for whole body health, from facials to massage, from laser skin treatments to herbal wellness, from chiropractic care to energy healing. We work with teens who want to put their best face forward, adults of all ages who want to maintain that youthful glow, and anyone who wants to enjoy vibrant well-being head to toe. Serenity Bliss Holistic Spa is bringing the European approach to restoring natural beauty and wellness here to the Seattle area. located on the east side off the beaten path, yet just minutes from the freeway. If you'd like to experience the joy of relaxation, skincare excellence, and total wellness, then come experience your Serenity Bliss. To learn more or to schedule an appointment, visit SerenityBlissHolisticSpa.com. That's SerenityBlissHolisticSpa.com. Or call 206-229-0086.
On the cutting edge of the new mainstream, Christine Upchurch is passionate about bringing together science, psychology, and spirituality in a way that can be applied to our everyday lives for true transformation. The Christine Upchurch Show, stellar conversations to illuminate your journey, engages some of the most outstanding visionaries on the planet in lively dialogue to inspire you to become that bright light you're meant to be. Join Christine every Friday at 11 a.m. Pacific Time on KKNW, AM 1150, and Transformation Talk Radio.
I'm Christine Upchurch, and this is a Stellar Reflections Minute. Years ago, when facing cancer without any immediate treatment options, I sought healing by making various life changes. For a while, I followed a very restrictive diet. I often found myself obsessing about which foods were good and which ones were bad. Then one day, I realized I was consuming foods based on fear of not getting well. But I didn't want to make choices out of fear anymore. I decided it was far better for my immune system if I allowed myself to experience the joy that came from, say, eating frozen yogurt, than it was for me to ingest the fear that came from avoiding it. Now, instead of choosing healthy habits based on fear, I try to make choices because they feel right and ultimately bring me joy and ease. How many of your healthy habits are really based on fear? Please visit StellarReflections.com or call 425-999-9836. That's 425-999-9836.
Welcome back to the Christine Upchurch Show here on KKNW, WBLQ, CRN, and Transformation Talk Radio. We're talking today with mindfulness expert and psychotherapist Donald Altman. He's the author of Clearing Emotional Clutter. Now, Donald, in your book, you talk about the elevator, that mm-hmm. we're on an emotional elevator. Can you describe to our listeners what that's about?
Yeah. It's interesting. You can almost think about how our buttons get pushed. It's kind of a metaphor for that, Christine, how our buttons get pushed, and it moves us up and down this elevator constantly throughout the day. So things are going your way. You get that new job, maybe. You get some other goal that you wanted, or maybe you're thinking a happy thought, and the emotional elevator goes up.
Uh-huh.
But let's say maybe your friend ignores your text, or, something didn't go your way. You got that. You didn't get that job promotion that you always wanted, right?
Right.
Or you missed out on that parking spot, and then your elevator can instantly go down.
Right.
And here's your buttons being pushed all throughout the day, and that can be exhausting. Also, we can end up just trying to chase the positive up buttons, right? Or end up trying to avoid the negative, the down buttons, and it can be really wonderful to get off that elevator, and that's another form of clutter, actually. You can get off that elevator and have a sense of equanimity, a sense of calm, and so you're in control of pushing your own elevator buttons, right?
Yeah,
and so that's the idea here.
Yeah, and it's not somebody else, it's not circumstances. It's...
Right, because we don't have control always over what's going to happen, but we can have control over how we decide to respond.
Right. And I think that in our culture, at least here in the U.S., we have a lot of problems with that, don't we? The lack of control. I mean.
Yeah, and I think that, a lot of the way people react is that you really want to try to have a sense of control. And I think that's because things seem more and more out of control.
Oh, interesting.
Right?
I like that. So say more about that. How are things more and more out of control?
Well, I think, the pace and the speed of life is going so quickly, and we really can't seem to control it at all.
Uh-huh.
And so what can we control, right? So we try to start controlling things. Maybe we try to control how we eat, or we try to control something, we try to control our job. We look at things we can control, because in the bigger sense, and this is the feeling I get just from looking at how distractible everybody is now, or, we're being barraged by so many different ideas and thoughts and advertisements and so on,
right,
that thousands of choices of different products. I mean, that can be overwhelming for anybody.
You're right. It's not like, you know, in some cultures or the way it used to be where you go down to the farmer's market and you see, you know, what's available that day. And there are, you know, there may be an abundance, but certainly nothing like a grocery store. It's, you know, what's in season, what's been grown locally, you know, and you get to like sort of, you know, take your time because there are these big bins and it's not like there's all these different boxes and labels and such
right.
staring at you.
Right. There's so much abundance. And I talk about a little bit in terms of affluenza in the book that we can get stuck in this, this trap almost of always wanting more and not knowing when, you know, enough is okay.
Right.
And that can be another kind of clutter on it. But just, again, the idea that we have so many choices and so much abundance, which is good, I think, up to a point, and then it maybe becomes counterproductive, and it makes us feel that we just, how do we make all these decisions? And actually, even in brain science, you know, the more decisions you make through the day, we have mental exhaustion. And finally, you know, if it's the end of the day, it's a good idea not to make that major, buy a car at the end of a long day,
right.
because you'll be mentally exhausted by then. It'll be hard to really make choices based on, your rational mind because you're going to be exhausted.
So you think that we may be sort of wired to make fewer choices in our day?
I think it can be useful to try to make fewer choices and to this idea of, and I know a lot of people multitask, but it's actually fascinating. The frontal cortex of the brain that actually makes decisions, it has one thought at a time. It does one thing at a time. And so when we multitask, sometimes we have the impression that we're doing things faster, but actually every time you shift back to another task, you actually have to reorient yourself to it first, and actually ends up, there have been some studies that actually shows it kind of slows us down. But I suggest if you like multitasking and it doesn't bother you, that's great.
Uh-huh.
But if you're feeling overwhelmed by it and you're feeling that there are too many things to do, then spend a little bit longer time working on any one project or task, or cut down on the number of tasks you do in the course of a day.
Right.
Because when you're and this has to do with transitions. It's something I talk about in the book.
Yes, and this is fascinating. I had never heard this before.
Yeah.
What is it about transitions? First of all, what's a transition and how does it affect us?
Well, there are a lot of different transitions. There are physical transitions, so I'm leaving my house and going to work, or vice versa, or emotional transitions, so I'm with a family member and now I'm leaving them, or I'm returning home to people I know. And so all these different transitions, they create anxiety because especially when we leave somebody, we're leaving the house, that's about, you need closure and connection with that person.
Uh-huh.
And so you need a little ritual there that can help you deal with that emotional transition. And that could be, when I work with couples, I hear this all the time when I say, what is one little thing you would like your partner to do differently that could improve your relationship? And it's almost always around a transition. So someone says, you know, when I leave work in the morning, I like my partner to give me a hug and say, have a nice day.
Uh-huh.
Right? Or when I go to work, I want somebody to look up from their desk and greet me and say hello. Because going into a new space is about safety and inclusion, feeling safe and included.
Right.
Right. So even, you know, think about when you come home from work, and I've had people say this. They say, well, you know, my partner, they're on the computer. They barely look up at me.
Yep.
And so you don't have this sense of that transition into the home space again. It doesn't feel safe.
Yeah.
And you don't feel included. So I work with people on spending the time to go give that person a hug. How was your day?
Uh-huh.
Right, and connect in that way.
And that's interesting, Donald, because it's almost like it, you know, may have it may be related to how we have evolved. You know, once upon a time when we went from one place to another, there might be danger involved, and so you know, to create stress, and there may not be the same kind of danger. Although sometimes driving on the freeway feels very dangerous.
I think you're absolutely right, because there's when we're transitioning, there's a part of the brain, I call it the smoke detector in the brain, and it's the part of the brain, it's deeper in the core of the brain, it's the part of the brain we share with reptiles and animals that are more reactive. Uh-huh. And that part of the brain, the smoke detector, is always on. So it's always receiving input from all your senses, even the orienting muscles in your neck. So when you're entering a new space, you know, you're kind of looking around. And really, this part of the brain is thinking, you know, is it safe here?
Right.
Right? And how do I feel? And so it really does have a basis in our very ancient evolution. And yet it's still there. And so we need to acknowledge that and overcome it.
You
know, if that part of the brain is set to notice fire when there's no fire or smoke,
uh-huh.
right, it's not helping us.
Right. And when you think about it, these days, even if you exclude what the connections over the internet, just in our daily lives, we tend to interact with a lot more strangers than once upon a time we would have. It would have, you know, typically we would have been in a community where you'd know everybody, and if their stranger came into town, you'd know it. But we go out and interact with strangers every single day.
You're right. You're right. There is way more. So I think there's that sense of that we always are a little more on alert, uh-huh. absolutely, than maybe we were in the past. And so, you know, I think it's important to, and that's what one of the skills I have in the book is about noticing strengths. And even identifying strengths in others and trying to make that experience with people we don't know, make it easier and help us connect a little easier.
Yeah, and I want to have you talk a lot more about noticing strengths, because I think this is a very powerful approach to living in our daily lives. But we have to go to a quick break. More with Donald Altman when we return here in just a few moments.
Abundance Takes Flight continues for the month of May. If you missed the extraordinary event in person, you will not want to miss this video. Make a donation to ShareWheel via AbundanceTakesFlight.org. That's AbundanceTakesFlight.org. And receive your life-changing video from Lynn M. Brown. 8 things directly from the mouth of money. You can also view the list of vendors who are gifting 50% off their proceeds to ShareWheel when you mention this ad for the month of May.
Chris Stainis is a spiritual leader and healer and teaches a course on how you can transform your life through a meditation and healing system that will manifest your spirit's dreams. She manifested the Women of Wisdom Conference, the Women of Wisdom book, and this radio show. And she can show you how to change your life too. Are you ready? Visit the website and contact her at voicesofwomentoday.com. That's voicesofwomentoday.com.
This is Peggy Snow, practitioner at Stellar Reflections, with a Stellar Reflections Minute. So many people these days are trying to find ways to relieve their stress. What happens to our breathing when we're feeling overwhelmed and stress? When we tune in, we realize that we're either holding our breath or taking very shallow breath to signal the body that all is well, which most of the time it is. Sometimes all that is needed is a nice, deep breath to break the cycle. First, exhale to get all the stale air out by engaging the abdominal muscles and blowing gently. Next, take a nice full breath in, feeling it fill your body all the way down to your hips. Release fully and enjoy the freedom of movement. Notice how your body feels. Do you feel refreshed? Calmness is only a breath away. This has been a Stellar Reflections Minute. For more information about what we offer at Stellar Reflections, visit us at stellarreflections.com or call 425-999-9836. That's 425-999-9836.
On the cutting edge of the new mainstream, Christine Upchurch is passionate about bringing together science, psychology, and spirituality in a way that can be applied to our everyday lives for true transformation. The Christine Upchurch Show, stellar conversations to illuminate your journey, engages some of the most outstanding visionaries on the planet in lively dialogue to inspire you to become that bright light you're meant to be. Join Christine every Friday at 11 a.m. Pacific Time on KKNW, AM 1150, and Transformation Talk Radio.
Naturopathic doctor, founder of the Martha's Vineyard Holistic Retreat, and author of the New York Times bestseller 21 Pounds in 21 Days, Dr. Ronnie DeLuce has helped tens of thousands of people, including celebrities and athletes, with her message of lifestyle change. Now Dr. Ronnie DeLuce wants to help you. You too can be saved. Email Dr. Ronnie DeLuce at info@ronniedeluceonradio.com and visit mvholisticretreat.com. Dr. Ronnie DeLuce, your partner in wellness.
Welcome back to the Christine Epchurch Show here on KKNW, WBLQ, CRN, and Transformation Talk Radio. We're having a conversation today about emotional clutter. Donald Altman is the author of Clearing Emotional Clutter, Mindfulness Practices for Letting Go of What's Blocking Your Fulfillment and Transformation. Now, Donald, before the break, you began talking about noticing strengths. Can you first share with our listeners what you're talking about and then the process for doing exactly that?
Oh, okay. I think for one thing, we can be very critical. We're a critical culture, and we're a lot of times looking at weaknesses, and I find that many people don't notice their own strengths. And, if you're always thinking about your weaknesses or where you're inadequate, think about the effect that's having on you. And not just about your self-esteem, but how then it will affect how you react with others. Mm-hmm. But I think it's very important for us to start to give ourselves the credit to notice our strengths. And, this is not a phony ego boost. I want to mention that. It's really about balancing out that negativity and really, assessing our own strengths. I want to give you some examples of that, that we often don't realize our strengths. For example, you get up in the morning and You get dressed, take a shower, brush your teeth. Mm-hmm. That's all self-care, right? Getting enough sleep and doing that's all the strength of self-care. Let's say then you take your dog for a walk, right? Well, that's the strength of caring for another or compassion.
Uh-huh. Right.
You make your bed in the morning. That's the strength of orderliness and cleanliness. If you're creating a grocery list, that's the strength of planning. If you're showing up for work, that's a strength of discipline and timeliness, right, and respect for others. So here there are all these strengths that we don't recognize, but if you could, I like to have people take a strengths challenge and think about, as they're going through their day, what are the strengths that they're using? And people are really surprised when they start doing this, Christine, and I've had people do this in workshops, and I do workshops around the country, and when people have a partner and they talk about their strengths and or they tell a simple story like how they got to that workshop, for example, and they one person shares the story of coming to the workshop, the other person is identifying the strengths, and when the storyteller hears their strengths, wow, they're so amazed. And it's very satisfying and gratifying for them to recognize, wow, I've done all these things, I took a lot of these things for granted, or maybe I wasn't valuing that part of myself. So it could be a wonderful way to have people meet one another, or just, I have the practice of when I'm just meeting people on the street or in the checkout line, I'll always try to look for a strength of somebody and just mention it to them. And you ought to see people light up. They just, that somebody is recognizing something positive in them. And I think it's a great way, great practice to start to notice that.
And it seems to me, Donald, that even if it's only noticing it and not even saying it in certain situations, that can sort of shift the energy of the interaction.
Oh, sure. Even if you didn't say it, that's true. I think it would shift the energy. And I think the other thing that's good about this is that, if you just once a day, and there's actually research in this, if one time a day you put one practice into action, and let's say you do that for a week, it's actually been shown to reduce depression. I mean, that's how effective this practice is, because it gets you thinking about how your strength affects not just you but also others.
Right. And Donald, I think about parenting young children. If somebody, if a young child made his or her bed, If they, you know, got ready, you know, brushed their teeth and did all those things, you know, as a parent, we'd be praising them, saying, you know, good for you. You know, you're so self-reliant and look at what you've done and how do you feel about yourself kind of thing. And yet it just becomes second nature for some of these things that really are strengths that we've learned to just integrate into our daily lives.
Right. So I think that's a good point. If you could share that with your children, right, and just notice their strengths, that could be excellent. Even noticing our weaknesses is a strength when you think about it, isn't it?
What way?
That's the strength of being able to look within.
Oh, right.
Yeah. So, I mean, you know, it's really fascinating when you start exploring this whole strength area. And it just makes you more self-aware. And it's just a wonderful inner practice. It clears away the negative clutter. And I think it really changes how you feel about your day.
So
I mean, isn't that a nice thing?
Yeah, that seems really important. And it seems to me, Donald, that there's just, how do I put this? There are two aspects of this. One is to sort of shift the way we're thinking, but it also has its emotional ramifications, right? It's not just sort of noticing the strengths. It's about helping us to feel better about ourselves and feel more at ease, right?
Right. It's also about our story. This is also in the bigger picture. It's the story of who am I as a person? How do I, you know, it creates a deeper sense of meaning about how I experience and my role in maybe helping others. If I have the strength of hospitality, you know, I do these little things for other people.
Right.
Or if I have the strength of, you know, volunteering or being of service. These are just examples, but then I actually feel like I'm a contributing member of society. I'm actually, you know, helping make things better.
Mm-hmm.
So it changes. It, in the bigger picture, it just helps us look at the story of who we are in a little different way.
And Donald, it seems like there are a lot of people out there, from young people who are in college or, you know, recently graduated from college, to a lot of middle-aged people who are feeling like they're not sure what they're supposed to be doing. They feel like there's something that they need to show up for in their lives, and they haven't, you know, done it and don't know what it is. It seems like this practice of focusing on the strengths may be a good way to sort of inform a person about, you know, what they have to offer others in this world.
I think everybody has a gift, and sometimes the gift is just what you're doing right now.
Mm-hmm.
It's easy to think, you know, how could I be another Mother Teresa? Or those people really accomplished something. But if you look at what Mother Teresa did, just as an example, you know, she wrote that wonderful poem about be faithful to small things.
Right.
And so she says it's the small things of ordinary life that really make it meaningful. So every day she would do these little things, and over the course of a lifetime, it turned into this wonderful work that she accumulated that changed so many lives. And so you know, could I share one little story about a guy I met? He's a barber in Portland, and his daughter had a hearing defect, and he took her to a clinic, and they said, yeah, we can repair, you know, your daughter with this surgery, but it was very expensive. And he said, well, I can't afford that. And they said, that's okay. We'd like to donate it, and all we ask of you is that you do something positive for others. And he said, well, I'm just a barber.
Mm-hmm.
And all I do is cut hair. And they said, well, why don't you give haircuts to people who are underserved, who are, you know, maybe are homeless or don't are looking for a job, but they want to look good for the interview.
Wow.
And he started to do that. And I actually got to interview him, and I interviewed some of the people that got the haircuts from him. And you'd be amazed at how, I mean, it's a very, you know, for him, it was just what he did. But it turned out that was his gift, but that he shared it with others.
Fabulous.
And gosh, it meant so much to those people who, you know, that somebody cared enough to help them, you know, improve their appearance, made them feel better, and gave them some confidence about going out this job interview.
Right. Oh, I love that story. That's amazing. And that's really paying it forward in a big way.
Yeah. So sometimes, you know, we don't have to look real far to find out, you know, to find out what our gift is. It might be right in front of us.
So are there some techniques for basically, you know, having the mindfulness of, you know, looking within and noticing the strengths and sort of shifting out of and away from the emotional clutter.
Yeah, I mean, I have a chapter called Inner Facebooking. And
I love that.
Yeah. You know, we're very steeped in technology, so I thought we need a technology way of, you know, looking at this. And so the idea with inner Facebooking is that, of course, we know what Facebook is. You know, you're posting things that are happening in your life, and you can see what other what your friends are doing and so forth. And every time somebody puts up a post and you look at it, you know, you have an emotional reaction to it. Might feel good or whatever. But think about there's a whole second Facebooking that's occurring, and it's the inner Facebook.
Uh-huh.
It's the mental posts you're putting up in your mind all throughout the day.
Oh, dear. So, I would never want to put some of those posts on Facebook because they're pretty
bad. Yeah, would you? Exactly. Would you want to put those on Facebook? But what I'm suggesting is that people become more aware of the Facebook posts, or you could almost think of it as taking a mental selfie.
Uh-huh.
Another way of thinking about it. But if you can become more aware of those mental Facebook posts, and that's the first step, actually, to noticing, oh, where is my mind going? What's it tend to do? Are there little themes in there that I'm replaying or stories? And then once you can do that, then you can start putting up some positive Facebook posts, mental posts, and, you know, maybe some positive self-talk or something positive that happened to you, just to balance that out. And
right.
So that increases your awareness, and I think it's one of the first steps, actually, for starting to clear out the clutter. If you don't know the clutter's there, you can't do anything about it.
Yeah, absolutely. We have to go to another quick break, but more on this interesting topic of clearing emotional clutter when we return here in a few moments.
How would you like increased health and vitality? How would you like to avoid the onset of disease as well as slow the aging process? This is all possible through a simple, safe, and natural process. Every day we are either moving toward wellness or away from wellness.
Hi, I'm Mary Jane Mack. I'd like to be your partner in achieving optimal health. Contact me now at MaryJaneMack.com or call 425-392-0659. Visit MaryJaneMack.com.
I'm Christine Upchurch, and this is a Stellar Reflections Minute. For centuries, spiritual traditions have talked about how humans have an energy field, or aura, surrounding them. Although skeptical scientists refuted this for decades, science is now beginning to catch up with spirituality. Scientists can actually measure light emanating from living beings, so they can measure the human aura, which in scientific terms is known as the biofield. Many medical practitioners around the world use an instrument to evaluate a patient's biofield for the purpose of diagnosing illness. They understand that imbalanced or insufficient light in a person's energy field indicates a physical or emotional problem. The good news? There are ways to balance and increase your light, resulting in greater well-being. For more information, please check out StellarReflections.com or call 425-999-9836. That's 425-999-9836.
Hey everyone, meet my friends at the maca team. The ancient Inca root vegetable maca is known worldwide for its huge array of health benefits. As a family-run company of true maca specialists, the maca team is here to bring you the best maca the Peruvian mountains has to offer. Yellow maca, used to promote endurance, vitality, fertility, hormone health, and much more, is on sale now. I love it. Visit themacateam.com to order yours now. Themacateam.com.
Have you been seeing numbers like 111 and 222 everywhere you go? Do you feel that the universe may be trying to get your attention, perhaps offering a message of some sort? As it turns out, numerical patterns and certain types of geometry form the very fabric of our reality, from cells under a microscope to the astronomy of our night sky. At Stellar Reflections, we offer special sessions which tap into these patterns, designed specifically to support you on your journey. The 111 and 222 activations are sessions activating new patterns in your energy field, which in turn can help you create new patterns in your life. After just one session with a practitioner, either in person or via distance, clients report gaining greater clarity, becoming more intuitive, and honoring their inner truth as they move forward in their lives. Curious about what these transformational sessions might do for you? call 425-999-9836 or visit StellarReflections.com. That's StellarReflections.com. Welcome back to the Christine Upchurch Show here on KKNW and Transformation Talk Radio. Donald, before we go any further, I want to make sure that people know how they can connect with you. Can you share with our listeners about your website and newsletter and those sorts of things?
Oh, sure. So the website is mindfulpractices.com. That's M-I-N-D-F-U-L practices.com. And if you go on the homepage, you can get information, links from the book, or if you wanted to get the book. And also, you can sign up for my Mindful Living newsletter. And that comes out once monthly, has new information about mindfulness contemplations, reflections that you can do, tips for using it each day, and some updates on new events that I'm involved in. So I really encourage people to go sign up for the newsletter.
And I have to tell you, this is not the direction I was planning on going, but I'm just curious. How did you end up working in the neurobiology?
Well, it's actually interpersonal neurobiology program at Portland State University, and it's fascinating. I love that whole field, and it's all about how the brain is relational and interpersonal, and how that's how we learn, and how even at a very young age, even the first 10 to 24 months of life, our brain is wiring up for that interpersonal connection with others. Isn't that fascinating? And it continues to wire through our entire lifespan.
Interesting. So, and you teach classes about this?
Yes.
Fascinating. You know, you've got a couple of wonderful acronyms in your book, and one of them is HEAR, H-E-A-R. What does that stand for?
Well, HEAR is about, the H-E-A-R is about how we can really communicate more effectively with others. I mean, whether it's a friend or whether it's, a partner, we're going to get into disagreements or arguments could happen in your workplace. And how could we open up and become more willing to listen? How could we shift any argument? And I think it's important. You know, you think of a teacup that's filled to the brim. There's no space left in it. And if it's filled up with your opinions and your way of thinking, right, you can't let in what anybody else is saying. So this is really a way of kind of emptying that teacup. And so the H stands for, in that moment, you could just set your assumptions aside. Set your beliefs aside just for a moment. You always come back to them later.
Uh-huh.
And so this means just get curious. Empty your ego. Get curious about what this other person is saying. Right? And
right.
It's just another way to kind of allow in what's happening. The E stands for enter the emotional world of this other person. So to use empathy. So you're engaging, not enraging, right, with this other person. And you're getting a deeper understanding. Just allow yourself to really, so here's how they feel about it. What's it like to step into their shoes for a moment?
Right.
And the A means to absorb and accept. So absorb means just like a sponge, soaks up the water on a counter. Just allow yourself to absorb what this person is saying. And also the accepting means you can accept that this is where the person is right now. You don't have to change them or fix them, but just entering a place of acceptance. So this is where this person is at. So the first three, the H-E-A, is about listening. And the R is about how am I going to respond? And so you respond by reflecting, and then respectfully answering, respectfully responding. So reflecting means looking inward. After you've had a chance, so maybe this means, you don't respond in the moment. Maybe you need some time to think about it, and that's perfectly okay. You might say, you know what, thank you for letting me hear that. We can continue this discussion later.
Uh-huh.
So maybe you go back and you reflect. Maybe you talk to a wise friend or somebody you could talk to about it. And so after you've reflected inwardly, then you want to respond with respect. So that means, if you're still angry, if you're still upset, then you're not ready yet.
Mm-hmm.
Respond when you can do so in a kind and compassionate way. And this can really change how you experience a relationship with another.
I think, Donald, that so many people keep their teacup full because they have this deep desire to be heard, seen, accepted. But what you're saying is you need to start doing it the other direction.
Well, I think it needs to be, you know, you bring up a good point. I mean, it needs to be mutual, and that's what really makes relationships wonderful and friendships so satisfying, is it's reciprocal, and there's a sense of mutuality. You know, if somebody is always just wanting to be heard and not allowing you to share your opinions, then it's more of a one-way street, right? So
right.
You do want it to be a two-way thing. But I think that in the heat of the moment, especially in arguments, what's important for us is to kind of to not escalate that argument, is that we can enter this space that of the here practice, and that might be able to shift how we're experiencing and having enter dialogue. So it's not, you know, it's interesting. The word discussion actually comes from the root word of percussion, like to bang on something.
Right. Oh, interesting.
Right? But dialogue is very different. Dialogue means, if you break down the word, it means through word. And so now we're actually using word as a way to move into greater understanding and communication with another.
It seems like what's integral to all this has to be some trust within the context of the relationship.
Mm. You know, absolutely. You need trust in a friendship. And what's fascinating to me is that, trust is really about safety, and that
right.
develops over time. And so I talk actually about the three seeds of friendship being trust, acceptance, and empathy.
Uh-huh.
And the trust is kind of the first one that you need. And sometimes people enter into a friendship or relationship a little too quickly, and they need to allow more time for that trust to naturally build and to sense when, you know, you really feel safe and you can disclose or tell a little bit more about yourself.
And, uh-huh. And how do we incorporate these mindfulness practices in relation to setting boundaries in our lives?
Well, that's an interesting question. Well, we need boundaries, and I think that if you're not feeling safe, then you need to place a boundary there. And that's where I think getting into the body and noticing when do you feel like, when are you physically sensing that your boundary has been, abused or not treated fairly,
uh-huh.
then you do need to set a boundary. I think there are a lot of boundaries, not just for others, but even boundaries we set with ourselves about how we use technology, for example,
right.
Like going to sleep at night, boundaries for getting enough sleep. If you're looking at cell phones and computers and that electroluminescent light goes in through the retinas and actually delays production of melatonin.
Right.
That sets our sleep clock. So, fascinating exploration around boundaries. I mean, there's so many different kinds of boundaries, but, yeah, we need boundaries to make us feel safe.
Yeah, yeah, and to be safe, true.
Yeah, and to be safe.
Yeah. So, quick question, Donald. Is there a connection between emotional clutter and the physical clutter?
I think there definitely can be. I don't know if that's always the case for everybody, but I think that if you're cluttered up in your head, you may also be cluttered in your environment.
Mm-hmm.
So I think there is I think there could be a real connection there. I haven't heard of any studies about that, but it wouldn't surprise me. And so I think that if you can clean up the emotional clutter, it will kind of follow that you clean up the physical clutter. Sounds
right.
like there could really be a connection.
We just have another minute or so. Do you have something simple to offer people to help them to clear their emotional clutter?
Yeah, I would say this breath is probably one of the most powerful clutter clearing skills you have. And actually, in the emotional clutter book, I share a Navy SEALs breathing method that they teach all their recruits to help them, clear away the clutter, because breathing helps regulate your brain and your body,
uh-huh.
turn on the relaxation response in the body. So it kind of helps us de-escalate if you're feeling reactive or anything like that. And so breathing is a key, and this is the diaphragmatic, kind of the belly breathing. So
which,
I talk about that.
Yeah,
and
most of us don't do.
Right. You know what? We're born that breathing that way. If you little babies breathe they breathe into the chest or the belly, right?
Uh-huh,
they breathe
right.
into the belly. But then as we encounter stress, our breath goes higher and higher up in the lungs. And so we need to retrain ourselves how to do that. And that is a wonderful way of clearing clutter in the moment.
Mm-hmm. You know, Donald, this hour has flown by. I'm so grateful that you've joined us today, and I'm really grateful for your book. It's called Clearing Emotional Clutter by Donald Altman. Donald, thank you so much for joining us here today.
Oh, well, thanks, Christine. I really enjoyed our conversation, and I love the work you're doing. So bless you and bless your audience.
Thank you so much. And thank you for joining us here today. If you want to hear this show again or share it with somebody else, you can look for the archives on ChristineUpchurch.com. And it's also on iTunes. You can subscribe there and TransformationTalkRadio.com. It's all over the internet. So if you'd like to listen again, you know how to tune in. And there are also lots of other radio shows on ChristineUpchurch.com. From past guests. Thank you so much for joining us here today. I look forward to connecting with you again soon. Bye, everybody.
You've been listening to The Christine Upchurch Show, stellar conversations to illuminate your journey. Each week, this show engages some of the most outstanding visionaries on the planet in lively dialogue to inspire you to become that bright light you're meant to be. Join Christine every Friday at 11 a.m. Pacific Time on KKNW, AM 1150, and TransformationTalkRadio.com. For more information about the transformative healing work of Christine, visit www.StellarReflections.com. And for weekly topics, visit www.TransformationTalkRadio.com.